WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this edition, we continue our series on American popular song with the music of Hoagy Carmichael. That's Hoagy Carmichael at the piano, playing his composition Stardust, one of the most frequently recorded tunes in the history of American popular song. Carmichael not only ranks as one of the great songwriters of the 20th century, he was one of the century's earliest successful singer-songwriters. He recorded his own songs like Rockin' Chair, Georgia on My Mind, Lazy River, and Skylark, and performed some of his songs in such movies as To Have and Have Not and Young Men with a Horn. Carmichael was born in Bloomington on November 22, 1899, and grew up near the Indiana University campus, where he later studied law while playing piano in jazz bands. On today's program, we'll be joined by Carmichael's biographer, his son, and our guest performers. Of course, we'll also hear performances by Hoagy himself.
Though I dream in vain in my heart, it will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Let me introduce our guest performers. Dave Frischberg is a singer, songwriter, and pianist who has been influenced by Carmichael. He has many recordings of his own. His songs have also been recorded by such singers as Rosemary Clooney and Diana Krall. Our guest singer, Rebecca Kilgore, has made several recordings which feature Frischberg at the piano. Welcome back to Fresh Air. Dave Frischberg, Rebecca Kilgore, it's great to have you here again.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with one of Hoagy Carmichael's most famous and most beautiful songs, Skylark. The lyric is by Johnny Mercer.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Can you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring, where my heart can go a journey over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
That was beautiful. Thank you for doing that. Well, Skylark was written with lyricist Johnny Mercer after they collaborated on a 1940 musical called Walk with Music. It was Hoagy Carmichael's only Broadway show, and it flopped. After it closed, Hoagy Carmichael gave Johnny Mercer two new songs to write the lyrics to. One was Skylark, and the other is The Old Music Master, which is the song, Dave, I'm going to ask you to do next. And I think Skylark and The Old Music Master are really nice contrasts. Skylark as a ballad and The Old Music Master as an up-tempo song with a novelty lyric. Carmichael recorded it, but it hasn't been recorded very much. Dave, would you do it for us?
I'd be happy to.
Skylark,
One night long ago, by the light of the moon, an old music master sat composing a tune. His spirit was soaring and his heart full of joy, when right out from nowhere stepped a little hepcat boy. He said, "You better jump it, music master. You better play that rhythm faster, or you will never get it played on the Happy Cat Hit Parade. You better tell your friend Beethoven and Mr. Reginald Dekoven. They better do the same as you, or they're gonna be corny too. Along about 1917, jazz will come upon the scene. And along about 1935, you begin to hear swing, boogie, woogie, and jive. You better tell the big broadcaster that you're a solid music master, and you'll achieve posterity. That's a bit of advice from me." The old music master simply sat there amazed, as wide-eyed and open-mouthed he gazed and he gazed. "How can you be certain, little boy, tell me how?" "Because I was born," he said, 100 years from now." He hit a chord that rocked the spinet, disappeared into the infinite, and up until the present day, you can take it from me, he's as right as can be. You can take it from me, he's as right as can be. Everything has happened that way, yeah.
I really like that song. Do you like doing it, Dave?
Yeah. I used to do it years ago when I first started singing in front of people. It was one of my first pieces of material. I like it a lot, yeah.
Dave Frischberg and Rebecca Kilgore will be back later in the show. That's Louis Armstrong from a 1929 recording with Hoagy Carmichael of Carmichael's song Rockin' Chair. My guest, Richard Sudhalter, is the author of a forthcoming biography of Hoagy Carmichael. He's also the author of a biography of Carmichael's good friend, cornetist Biggs Beiderbecke, and the book Lost Chords. Sudhalter is a trumpeter. Among his many recordings are a couple devoted to Carmichael's songs. Sudhalter regards Carmichael as one of the most important songwriters of the 20th century. I asked him why.
First of all, he was not a man of the theater. He didn't write for that essentially artificial world, excepting here his later efforts for the movies. He was basically describing life as he had seen it and lived it growing up in the American heartland. So as that America disappears from our view, what we have in those songs, that body of songs, is a kind of musical record of the way we saw ourselves throughout most of this century.
Now, Hoagy Carmichael, for the most part, didn't write the lyrics to his songs, and it's the lyrics that give the narrative. Do you still feel that strongly about him giving us a sense of a vanished America?
Well, one of the great discoveries I've made in researching my biography is that he had a much more prominent hand in putting the lyrics together. That is to say, very often he very heavily edited and altered other people's lyrics, and indeed some of the lyrics which he just tossed off as dummies for a melody which he'd created wound up being the actual lyrics to the songs.
Hoagy Carmichael comes out of jazz bands as opposed to theater or Tin Pan Alley. As a jazz musician yourself, Richard Sudhalter, can you hear that in Carmichael's melodies and in his chords?
Oh, without a doubt. Bud Freeman put it very, very well many years ago by saying, with Carmichael's songs, there is less need to alter or improvise on the melodies because the jazz is already in them. And certainly playing through songs such as Skylark or Georgia on My Mind or Rockin' Chair, the way they lie under the fingers is the way a hot solo lies under the fingers. You know, all you have to do is play the first phrase of Rockin' Chair, bop, ba ba da ba ba. You know, this could not have been written by George Gershwin or Jerome Kern or Harold Arlen.
Well, the song that Hoagy Carmichael is perhaps best known for is one of his early songs, Stardust, which is one of the most recorded songs in history. What's happening in Stardust that's unusual for its time?
Stardust came about as a chord structure at a jam session. The cornetist Bud Dant, who is the sole survivor of Hoagy's campus band at IU, described this in some detail, where during one of their sessions where they were riding on a wagon serenading the sororities at the school, Hoagy said, "How about this chord structure? I've just developed this." And he played it through. He didn't have much of a melody except for the opening arpeggiated melody, the phrase that went, of course, dum bum 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 boom bum 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 ba da ba dum, which combined something he'd heard Bix play and also a lick from a popular Armstrong record, the Potato Head Blues. After that, it was all jam stuff. So its first incarnation was as a sort of Bix-sounding medium-tempo rhythm tune.
Well, why don't we hear that first recording of Stardust in a band led by Hoagy Carmichael, the version you described as just being like a rhythm tune. Stardust, recorded in 1927. We'll talk more with Carmichael's biographer Richard Sudhalter after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Hoagy Carmichael's biographer, Richard Sudhalter. Hoagy Carmichael was born November 22, 1899. This was 2 months after Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag was published. Now, Carmichael's mother played ragtime. Her specialty was the Maple Leaf Rag. She played at local movie and vaudeville houses. What do you think the importance was of ragtime on Carmichael's music? Do you think he was influenced by that?
Absolutely. It was in the air. It was a very rhythmically dynamic music. And his mother was a very accomplished pianist. Not only did she play in movie houses and vaudeville houses, she played for dances at the university. And certainly, Lyda Carmichael would take Hoagland, which is what the name he was known by at that point, with her at night. He would stretch out on a couple of chairs and just lie there in the dark of the theater or the hall or wherever it was, listening to his mother playing this music and just loving every bit of it.
Hoagy Carmichael is from Indiana. Now, the capital of songwriting when he was coming of age was New York, the home of Tin Pan Alley. Then songwriting's capital kind of moved to Hollywood. And as Duncan Sheet wrote in his book, The Jazz State of Indiana, Indiana was not a root source of jazz, as were New Orleans, the rural South, or the great show business capitals of New York and Chicago. Its particular place was earned by its development of a style, its interpretation of music from other places. The style might be called, for lack of a better name, Midwestern jazz. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Indiana was a crossroads place. You know, you had the National Road, which cut directly across the state and went on into Ohio in the east and Illinois on the west. The importance of Indiana was as a kind of meeting point for all kinds of entertainers. You know, there were bands, there were vaudeville acts, there were vocal groups, you name it. They had to go through Indianapolis in order to get where they were going.
Do you think Hoagy Carmichael grew up hearing a different kind of music than, say, his counterparts in New York grew up hearing?
Oh, sure. For example, something we now take so for granted as easy relations between black and white, which in those segregated years was, especially in the urban areas, pretty problematic, was much more relaxed in a place like Bloomington, Indiana. Hoagy talks about going as a child to what they called Bucktown, the part of Bloomington that was inhabited by blacks, and being welcome in their houses, playing the piano, hearing them and their bands. When he first started booking orchestras for dances at his high school and at his college, he was the one to bring in, let's say, a band from Louisville, a hot quintet of black musicians whom nobody had ever heard about, but he knew about, and thought, oh, this will make a tremendous hit, and of course they did.
In Carmichael's autobiography, he constantly refers to his excitement over the new music when he was young. He writes, "I became aware just before the First World War that there was a new kind of music coming up from the South. It had been coming north, both east and west. Some called it the blues, some whorehouse music, some jazz. I never really felt I was part of a scene except in the new lowlife music." Can you describe what you think it might have been like for Carmichael to start playing when jazz was brand new?
Well, you know, put yourself back to a time when you're just entering adolescence and think of how wonderful it was to discover something that you could call your own rather than inheriting from your parents' generation. Let's remember that in the 20s, the core audience for hot music was on the college campuses. There wasn't a single college in this country that didn't have at least one, and in many cases, quite a few more, student hot jazz ensembles.
Well, Hoagy Carmichael played an important role not just as a musician playing in college, but as the person booking the bands to play on the college campus. One of the most probably the most important band he booked was Bix Beiderbecke's band, the Wolverines. Why is the meeting of Hoagy Carmichael and Bix Beiderbecke so important musically?
The importance is beyond estimation. Bix was the shaping influence on Hoagy's entire intuitive side, the side that convinced him that he could write songs, he could play music, he could be something more than just a guy who pounded piano on weekends in a campus hangout. Along with Bix was another friend, son of a university professor named William Monkhouse, who was himself European educated, an intellectual who was familiar with Dadaism, Surrealism, Cubism in art and so forth, and played the same role intellectually in Carmichael's life that Bix had played musically. The two of them together, they were the forces that shaped young Carmichael and actually showed him he could be any number of things that he wanted to be out there in the world if only he would try and keep with it.
Richard Sudhalter is Hoagy Carmichael's biographer. We'll talk more later in the show. Bix Beiderbecke was playing in Paul Whiteman's band when Carmichael met Whiteman. Whiteman decided to record Carmichael's song Washboard Blues after Carmichael sang it for him. Whiteman insisted that Carmichael sing on the recording in spite of the fact that Carmichael didn't think he had much of a voice. Here's that 1927 recording, Carmichael's first recording as a singer.
Morning comes with cloudy skies and rain. My poor back am broke with pain. My man sleeping, eyes are scrubbing. Chilling, weeping, eyes are rubbing. Pains are creeping, clothes are tubbing all day long. Up to that washing soap and down to that water once more. Head down low, head low. Up to that washing soap and down to that water once more. Oh, hand go, oh Lordy, so weary.
This special edition of Fresh Air is devoted to the music of Hoagy Carmichael. Let's get back to our guest performers, Dave Frischberg and Rebecca Kilgore.
Well, we've heard about Hoagy Carmichael's early development as a jazz musician and songwriter. Why don't you do one of his songs from 1933. This is called One Morning in May, and it was the first collaboration between Carmichael and lyricist Mitchell Parrish after they wrote Stardust. And Hoagy Carmichael called this one of his favorite songs. He said, every songwriter feels kindly toward a song that didn't get too far. And this song didn't get too far, so it's a good opportunity to give it a bit of a revival. And Rebecca Kilgore, Dave Frischberg, I'd love you to do it for us.
We'd love to.
Okay.
One morning in May, don't forget, dear, that one wonderful day when we met, dear. The world over was blue clover and hearts carefree and gay. One morning in May, oh, the rapture tonight, darling, I pray to recapture just 1 hour, just one flower from love's faded bouquet. Kisses that came with the flame of springtime, burning your name in my heart. Precious to me, like a rosary, now that we're apart. One morning in May to remember, though love smolders away to an ember, and dreams perish, we'll still cherish that one morning in May. Pale cheeks so soft and white, where do you dream tonight? Maybe we'll meet again someday, sweet.
Dave Frischberg and Rebecca Kilgore will perform more songs by Hoagy Carmichael, and we'll talk more about his life and music after a break. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today's program is devoted to the life and music of songwriter, pianist, and singer Hoagy Carmichael. It's part of our series on the history of American popular song. In 1929, Hoagy Carmichael moved to New York. Then in 1936, he moved to Hollywood, where he wrote songs for the movies. Our guest performers Dave Frischberg and Rebecca Kilgore are back, and they're going to perform one of Carmichael's first movie songs. Well, early in Hoagy Carmichael's Hollywood career, when he was a staff songwriter at Paramount Pictures, the studio teamed him up with Frank Lesser. And Lesser is a composer and lyricist who's probably best known for writing the songs for Guys and Dolls. But at the time, he was just getting started as a lyricist. And so with Hoagy Carmichael, he wrote Small Fry, Heart and Soul, and Two Sleepy People. I'm going to ask you to do Two Sleepy People. It was sung by Bob Hope and Shirley Ross in the 1938 movie Thanks for the Memory. It's a wonderful song. Would you do it for us?
Yeah.
Sure.
Here we are, out of cigarettes, holding hands and yawning. Look how late it gets. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight.
Here we are in the cozy chair, picking on a wishbone from the Frigidaire. Two sleepy people with nothing to say, and too much in love to break away.
Do you remember the nights we used to linger in the hall?
Father didn't like you at all.
Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall?
To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest. Well, here we are, just about the same.
Foggy little fella,
drowsy little dame.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight.
Well, here we are, don't we look a mess? Lipstick on your collar, wrinkles in my dress. Two sleepy people who know very well they're too much in love to break the spell.
Here we are, crazy in the head. Gee, your eyes are gorgeous, even when they're red. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Do you remember when we went dancing at the Palomar?
When it was over, why, naturally we cuddled in the car.
That's when I ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm. And I was green as grass.
Well, here we are, keeping up the pace, letting each tomorrow slap us in the face. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight.
I think that's one of the most successfully conversational songs I know, both in the lyric and in the music.
Well, it makes it really easy to sing as a duet that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's real. It's two real people.
Hoagy Carmichael was one of the first singer-songwriters who was successful at composing and performing. And he has, in a lot of ways, a real composer's voice. He doesn't have a lot in the way of technical equipment as a singer, but he has fantastic phrasing and musicality. I imagine he inspired a lot of instrumentalists and songwriters to sing. Dave, I know you've sung a lot of Hoagy Carmichael songs over the years and even performed in a tribute to him, a review of his work. Has he been an inspiration to you, either as a songwriter or as a performer?
Well, when I was a child growing up in St. Paul, I was charmed by Hoagy Carmichael. My brother had a bunch of 78 records by him. I guess that was the first such delivery I'd ever heard. I don't think I'll ever forget that kind of impact.
Now, he's from Indiana.
Yeah.
You're from the Midwest, too. You're from...
St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I'm wondering if, when you hear Hoagy Carmichael songs, if you think Midwest.
Yeah.
And if you feel a Midwestern connection to him.
I certainly do. And when I hear my own voice on a record or something like that, I always think, geez, that sounds like Hoagy Carmichael. I think it's that Midwestern nasality that we share. I think it's as simple as that.
Dave Frischberg and Rebecca Kilgore will perform more of Carmichael's movie songs in a little while. Carmichael performed his songs in several films. I asked his biographer, Richard Sudhalter, about Carmichael's importance as a singer.
First and foremost, he is quite, I think, justly revered as the father of that iconic figure of our times, the singer-songwriter, the guy who sits at the piano, accompanies himself, sings his own material, and does it probably better than anybody else can do it. In those days, this was pretty rare. There were a few people, but it was not a common thing, especially when the songwriter wrote material that was best suited to his way of singing. Consider Hong Kong Blues, for example, and Lazy Bones. These are songs that nobody's ever done better than Carmichael, though his vocal quality was certainly not a legitimately trained one. It was a little nasal and a little flat in the vowels and also in the pitch, but it had tremendous charm.
Do you think that being based in Hollywood changed the kind of songs Hoagy Carmichael wrote?
Absolutely. It changed his life. It changed his attitudes. It brought into play that young, somewhat impoverished kid who really lusted after the good life. That life of country clubs and golf courses and parties and sunshine and all the rest. And, of course, once he was there, he took to that life with a vengeance. The songs continued to be very good. Some of the movie songs are more than good. They're great. They're splendid pieces of work, Memphis in June and the rest. But there's a change in the forces driving him. He moves slowly away from any involvement with jazz. He writes not under pressure, but to the more leisurely schedule of Hurry Up and Wait that pretty much informed the way Hollywood things were done in those days. So his life, in a way, divides itself into these two parts, the rather enthusiastic zealot of Indiana and New York days and the rather laid-back Hollywood character of later years.
Richard Sudhalter is Hoagy Carmichael's biographer. We'll be back with more music after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're with singer Rebecca Kilgore and songwriter, pianist, and singer Dave Frischberg, and we're listening to songs by Hoagy Carmichael. Hoagy Carmichael not only wrote songs for films, he co-starred in a few, and his first major film role was in the 1944 movie To Have and Have Not, and this is the movie that brought Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together. The film is set in Haiti during the Nazi occupation of France, and like Casablanca, the story revolves around whether Bogart will side with the French resistance. Well, Carmichael played the barroom pianist, and let's listen to Hoagy Carmichael tell the story of how he got the part in this movie. This is an excerpt of a 1964 Today Show interview.
Howard Hawks directed it, and his wife, Slim Hawks, was a good friend of my wife. Well, I knew her, too, and she was over in the patio one day at our house, and I was just coming through a gate. I'd had to do my own gardening then because you couldn't get anybody. It was during the war. Man, I was a mess. My hair down, I had some shorts on, mud all over me, and Slim said to my wife, said, "Who's that character?" And my wife said, I'll have you know, that character is my husband. And so Slim got a big laugh out of it. And a few days later, I got a wire from Howard in New York. That's where I was. Went right back, and he put me through the traces and tried to make somewhat of an actor out of me. I had a lot of fun doing it, I know that.
Our thanks to the Vincent Voice Library at Michigan State University for that interview excerpt. Well, here's a scene from To Have and Have Not in which Hoagy Carmichael is in the barroom working out a song that he's writing, and Lauren Bacall is sitting at the table next to him listening.
What is that you're playing?
Did you say something?
Yeah, what's the name of that tune?
I hasn't got any name yet. I've just been fooling around with the lyrics. They're not so hard either. Would you like to hear them?
Sure.
I run to the telephone whenever it rings. Can't be alone. It's one of those things. I tell a star my little woes. Hang around the bar till it's ready to close. So it goes. And that's about as far as it goes.
I like it.
Yes, if I could get the right lyric.
Hoagy Carmichael in a scene from To Have and Have Not. Well, in real life, the lyric was written by Johnny Mercer. It is a wonderful song. And Rebecca Kilgore, Dave Frischberg, I'd love you to do it for us.
We'd love to.
Okay.
Maybe it happens this way. Maybe we really belong together. But after all, how little we know. Maybe it's just for a day. Love is as changeable as the weather. And after all, how little we know. Who knows why an April breeze never remains? Why stars and the trees hide when it rains. Love comes along, casting a spell. Will it sing you a song? Will it say a farewell? Who can tell? Maybe you're meant to be mine. Maybe I'm only supposed to stay in your arms a while, as others have done. Is this what I waited for? Am I the one? Oh, I hope in my heart that it's so, in spite of how little we know.
That was great. Thank you for doing it for us.
Thanks.
Our guest performers are singer Rebecca Kilgore and songwriter, pianist, and singer Dave Frischberg. Well, the next Hoagy Carmichael song I'd like you to do for us is called The Nearness of You. And although it's one of his most recorded songs, I don't think it's nearly as well known as his other famous songs like Skylark and Stardust and Rockin' Chair in Georgia. The lyric is by Ned Washington, who was given Hoagy's melody by the Paramount Studio, and the song was used for the 1938 movie Romance in the Dark. Would you do The Nearness of You?
Of course.
Sure.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. when you're in my arms, and I feel you so close to me. All my wildest dreams come true. I need no soft lights to enchant me. If you only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight, and to feel in the night the nearness of you.
That was lovely. I used to think that Hoagy Carmichael was Southern because he had so many songs whose lyrics evoke the South. This is one of the great Southern songs that I'm going to ask you to do now, Memphis in June. This has a lyric by Paul Francis Webster, and I think it's a really good example of how some of Hoagy Carmichael's songs really lent themselves to this regional kind of sound. Carmichael sang this song himself in a 1945 movie called Johnny Angel, which starred George Raft, and in which Carmichael played a kind of philosophical cab driver. Dave, Becky, would you do the song for us?
Sure. Yeah.
Memphis in June, a shady veranda under a Sunday blue sky. Memphis in June, and cousin Amanda's making a rhubarb pie. I can hear the clock inside a ticking and talking. Everything is peacefully dandy. I can see old Granny cross the street, still a rocking, watching the neighbors go by. Memphis in June, with the sweet oleander blowing perfume in the air. Up jumps a moon to make it that much grander. Nothing's half as nice as Memphis in June. I can hear the clock inside a ticking and a talking. Everything is peacefully dandy. I can see old Granny cross the street still a rocking, watching the neighbors go by. Memphis in June, with a sweet oleander blowing perfume in the air. Up jumps a moon to make it that much grander. It's paradise, brother, take my advice. Nothing's half as nice as Memphis in June.
Well, it's just been a pleasure to hear you both do Hoagy Carmichael songs. Thank you very much for helping us celebrate Hoagy Carmichael.
Thanks. It's been fun.
Thanks, Terry.
Our guest performers have been singer Rebecca Kilgore and songwriter, pianist, and singer Dave Frischberg. Becky's CDs are on the Arbors label, and Dave has recorded for Arbors, Fantasy, and Concord. And they have albums separately and together. Coming up, we'll talk with Hoagy Carmichael's son, Hoagy Bix Carmichael. This is Fresh Air.
The year that Hoagie Carmichael wrote Heart and Soul, 1938, is the year that his son, Hoagie Bix Carmichael, was born. Hoagie Sr. died in 1981. Hoagie Bix now manages his father's music catalog. He's also a film, TV, and theatrical producer. He's working on a musical featuring his father's songs. I asked him to share a favorite memory of his father.
One day we were driving up to go fishing, believe it or not. Dad only took me to fishing twice. It wasn't his thing at all. But we were going up to Lake Tahoe to go fishing, and we were, you know, going at 60 miles an hour. And he stopped the car, got out, and on the front hood, with a piece of paper, wrote the first 32 bars of a song that he that just would no longer stay in his head. And I remember that piece of paper being stuck in his shirt pocket, and I think the tune ended up being Ivy, which was a song used in a movie.
So songs would just come to him even when he was driving?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was a little like perspiration, you know. It was there whether he liked it or not. And he was never at a loss for writing this stuff. It was always nearby.
Did your father hum or whistle or sing around the house?
He sure did. Jesus, he sure did. And would bring us into the den after he'd gotten an idea and asked me, 9, 8, 7 years old, whether I liked the, you know, the idea. Well, of course, I didn't know. I wanted to go out and play tetherball, you know. I wasn't interested in this, you know, two sleepy people idea that he had. But he would gather us around as some kind of, I don't know, family affirmation for this song. And, of course, everybody basically said it was wonderful. And then we went about our business.
The most iconic pictures of Hoagie Carmichael are, mm-hmm. I think, basically stills from Young Man with the Horn, where he's at the piano wearing his fedora. And I'm wondering, is that the way he looked in real life, too, at the piano, cigarette,
very much so.
Fedora?
I remember the day that photograph, I happened to be there that day, up on the stage at the Aragon Ballroom. And yes, I mean, he, in fact, I think those were his clothes. Not that it matters, but those were the clothes he wore, and that was a hat he wore, and he definitely did smoke. And I mean, there's nothing in that photograph that wasn't pure dad. I mean, and you know, it wouldn't have been unlike him, Terry, to, while the photographer was getting the lights ready and all that, for dad to work on a song on that piano. I'm not kidding at all. To maybe come up with something, because he was not out of his body at all.
There's a Hoagie Carmichael song that I really wish was better known. It's called Winter Moon, and it was written in 1957, which was, you know, comparatively late in his career. And he recorded it that year with contemporary jazz musicians of the time, including the saxophonist Art Pepper, the pianist Jimmy Rowles. It's a much darker song than I think we'd usually associate with Carmichael. And the sheet music was published for the first time in the Hoagie Carmichael Centennial Songbook. Could you talk a little bit about what your father thought of the song or of that recording session with Art Pepper and Jimmy Rowles and its importance to him?
He loved that recording because he felt that a whole new group of musicians, jazz musicians, found Dad's music to be right in front of them, new, fresh. And that's the kind of thing that any songwriter wants to feel, that this stuff is going to excite new groups of people. And I remember very vividly Dad bringing home or getting a test pressing of that recording session and the pride that he felt from it.
Well, why don't we end with Winter Moon from that session? And Hoagie Bix Carmichael, I thank you so much for talking with us.
Terry, I'm very pleased to be here.
Winter moon up there alone.
in the sky. All I can hear is the word goodbye. Winter moon, do you recall a night in June? Where is love's magic? Where has it gone?
Music from the recording Hoagy Sings Carmichael with the Pacific Jazzmen. Hoagy Carmichael wrote two autobiographies, The Stardust Road and Sometimes I Wonder. They've been republished together between the covers of one book.